God commands his people to prophesy or die. Yet the vast majority of God's own people today have chosen to ignore this life-saving warning. Understand why you must support God's prophetic message to avoid becoming his enemy. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. If you look into your Bible, you'll find that there isn't much talk about prophecy. If you look at the TV evangelists and other people speaking and talking about God, you hear very little about Bible prophecy. Why is that? Now, if you look at God's own people today, they have rejected Bible prophecy, and that's causing them a lot of problems, and God says that they have become his enemy because they have rejected Bible prophecy. For the most part, that's the reason. They became God's enemy. So, if you think about Bible prophecy and you don't understand it, you can't really understand the present, you can't understand the future, and a lot of other things that you can't understand. I want to go through the book of Micah today and the booklet about God's people becoming an enemy of God. But first of all, I'd like to go to Matthew 24 and just give you a kind of paraphrase here what Jesus Christ said in perhaps his greatest prophecy ever when he was on this earth. So let's take a look at that. God's own people, most of them, have a prophesied not message today. But let's see what Christ has to say about his greatest prophecy. Matthew 24, I'll just paraphrase this as I go along. Here he was on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him, and they wanted to know what would be the sign of the coming of the end of the world. They wanted to know about prophecy. And so he said in verse 5, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, they're going to come and they're going to talk about the personality of Christ, but they're not teaching you his prophetic message, or really his message period, but especially prophecy. They make it very clear that they're not into prophecy. They don't want to be speaking about prophecy. So Christ goes on to talk about how there are going to be rumors of wars and all kinds of wars and troubles. And he says that they're going to have wars in this world. You see them already on the earth. And he says this is only the beginning of sorrows. And then he says in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." In other words, they do have false prophets, and they will be telling you, well, things are not as bad as you think, and they'll be talking about a message of peace when Jesus Christ is talking about a message of war and many other problems and difficulties in this world. Verse 15, it talks about the abomination of desolation. Verse 21 and 22 talks about if Christ didn't return and shorten the time, there would be no flesh saved alive on this earth because of all the nuclear bombs and weapons of mass destruction. This is a terrible, terrible world we're living in. But there is all kinds of hope if we look to Christ and his message. He's going to make sure that mankind doesn't erase themselves off this earth. Verse 33 said, "Now you need to know, if you understand prophecy, you better realize when these prophecies here are at the door." Verse 33, at the very door. And then he goes on to say in verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all His goods. In other words, if you just do what God says and do His work, He will give you rule over the whole universe. Now that is a prophecy from God, and it's going to be fulfilled. It certainly is. But let's go to the book of Micah right now. Micah 2 and verse 4 says, in that day, of course, it says that several times in this book. And that means this end time. Anytime you see that, they're talking about the end time. And then verse 6, notice that. Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy. Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy. In other words, stop prophesying, God's own people say. And 95% of them had just turned away from God. Goes on to say, and they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. In other words, they're saying, look, if we don't do that, we'll be okay. We're going to be all right. We're not going to be shamed because of that. Of course, that's wrong. And the Revised Standard Version says one should not preach of such things, the way they phrase it. But this is about prophesying, and Micah is just telling you how his own people are saying prophesy not, very much like all of the world and the religious people as well. Why is that? When one-third of your Bible is prophecy, one-third of it, and God's people have become lukewarm and they don't want to prophesy. Here's what I wrote in the book, that the Laodiceans say they shall not take shame. They believe that they shall not be punished for fighting against revealed prophecy from the major and minor prophets and the former prophets. And the truth is just the opposite. The grotesque shame coming upon these Laodiceans or the lukewarm people of God are going to be punished because they say, prophesy not. Of all things, they say, don't prophesy. And make that very explicit. And it's all revolving around measuring prophecy and not measuring prophecy. If you look at Micah 2 and verse 7, it talks about the house of Jacob. That's unconverted Israel. Jacob means the unconverted one. When he changed his name to Israel, he was converted. But here it's talking about an unconverted Jacob or Israel, people to become Israel, which certainly includes America and Britain and the Jewish state in the Middle East. Those three in particular, they are the birthright nations and the scepter nation. This is dual. It's for physical Israel and spiritual Israel, which is the church. That is God's church. Now, in verse 8 it says, even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. They have risen up as an enemy. Why? What's wrong? You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. This of late, it just means when we understand this, well, it's like of late or yesterday, just recently. We see these things happening in Bible prophecy, and this all is in the latter days. But they are now God's enemy of all things, God's own people who knew the truth and knew all about Bible prophecy, and then they rejected it and became God's enemy. And when it talks about taking away all of their garments and that type thing, if you look at the other scriptures, you'll see that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So that's the garments that really is talking about our spiritual lives. Where it says, and they're averse from war, you see, it shows that those people have become weak. They're not using the power of God, and they don't want to fight for God. They don't want to have a war against Satan, the devil. And he is the god of this world. He deceives the whole world because they don't fight against him with the power of God. Then in Micah 3, verses 1 through 3, it talks about the cannibalism eating you alive spiritually. That's what Satan is doing to God's people and to this world. In verse 5, it talks about the false prophets coming on the scene. Even though war is all around us, they talk about God is going to give us peace. But man does not know the way of peace, Isaiah says. They don't know how to have peace. But they should, and they could. Then verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Eternal concerning the prophets that make my people err. That make my people err, and they cry peace, and it puts not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." They're even warring against God and what God says. No wonder they're enemies. Verse 6 says, "Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision." In other words, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's what one of the Proverbs says. And that's what it's saying here. "Therefore, night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision, and you'll be in darkness. And it shall be dark unto you that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them." So the Laodiceans, our God's people, are in darkness. They're not in the light. They don't know what's going on, and they don't know what's happening in Bible prophecy, which shows you what the present is and what the future is, and even what the past has been. All of that will be revealed to you, but I want to show you today, prophesy or become God's enemy. I'll just title it that, prophesy or become God's enemy. And we'll send you an article about dual prophecy so you can understand that. This applies to God's church, but it also applies to three other nations of Israel in particular, but to all the nations of Israel, and there are 12 of them today, just as there were in much of the past. Now notice Amos 2 in verse 11. I'll add this to Micah. "I raised up your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says the Eternal? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not." This is God's people saying that. And God is putting it right here in His Bible and condemning them for that, because they have commanded their own people not to prophesy. That is a serious problem. Commanded them. You can't do that. You can't prophesy here. And if they went ahead and did, then they just kicked them out of the church. That's the way it works. Well, you can go ahead and see there in verses 14 on about how you just lose all of your strength if you turn away from God that way. And then you can look at Amos 3 in verse 8 especially. It says, "The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Eternal God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" Well, how can you sit back and not prophesy if God has already prophesied? This is about life and death. That's what it's about. Life and death. "The Eternal God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" Who can but prophesy? When you see all of these prophecies that are right there before us and are being fulfilled right before our eyes, God wants us to prophesy and tell this world where it's going and what it all means. Look at Luke 1 and verse 30. I'll just talk to you about something here that Christ said, which is a prophecy that we all must keep in mind if we're going to understand Bible prophecy. Verse 30 of Luke 1. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's the Father. And the eternal God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Father gave Christ the throne of David. And from the time of David all the way to the second coming, well, there's going to be a throne on this earth. The throne of David, that is a promise from God that there'd always be a man to sit on that throne from the time of David to the second coming of Christ. Can you believe that? You can have that explained to you in our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy. But what is it? What is going to happen, you see, if we don't do what God wants us to do, and He's giving us a reward that shatters the imagination? It's that wonderful. If we will just prophesy for God and let this world know what is coming and hope that they will repent, because God wants to save them from the suffering that's coming in this world and you see all around you right now. And it's getting worse. But then he goes on to say in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And those that come out and are the first fruits, and they get the message out before he comes again the second time, then they're going to reign with him forever and sit on David's throne with Jesus Christ and be the bride of Christ. What a reward that is. Now today, there is a God's true church, and they have a new stone and a new throne. You can prove that in our booklet on the new throne of David. And it's right there in your Bible, and you can prove every bit of it. But here, you see, God is giving His very elect this prophecy, and we understand it if we obey God and if we do His work and if we prophesy His message. He's going to reward us like you can't even believe. But it is true. It is indeed true. But we prophesy for God. In Micah 2, verses 12 through 13, it says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of you. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. And then he goes on a little further down. He says, the breaker has come up before them. They have broken up. They passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king. There is in this end time a king sitting on David's throne inside God's own church. That's why they mention the word king. You think that's Christ? A lot of people think so. The commentaries most of the time do. The king is not Jesus Christ. The king shall pass before them and the eternal on the head of them. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that's in charge, but there is a king sitting on David's throne inside God's own church. Now that is important to know, because they are given special understanding and they're prophesying all of these many prophecies that are just for this end time. 90% of the prophecy is being fulfilled today. How can you explain that? But then the false prophets come along, and God says, now, what do you do when God's own church rejects prophecy and rejects what God says, and especially Bible prophecy? God says, you break out of that. Get out of there. And that's exactly what we had to do in our church. We had to get out because they just turned away from God. And we had to raise up another church. Well, we didn't do it. Christ did, of course. Only Christ can raise up His church, and nobody else can do that. But there is a new throne with all kinds of wonderful blessings. And God says, now break out of all that. And that's what we have had to do. But the rest of them became the enemy of God, 95% of God's people. God just tells you, look, you go ahead and you prophesy. If your own church turns away from God, will you leave and you continue to prophesy, and God will raise up another church through you. If you are prophesying what God says, He will do that, and there will be all kinds of miracles, all kinds of them. Lang's commentary even says, and their king, that king I talked about, passes on before them, for no other than the king out of the house of David can be that breaker. You see, even the commentaries can see that this is out of the house of David. And that's where David's throne is. And God wants to reward us mightily and will as time goes on. And when Jesus Christ gets here in particular, but He gives you all kinds of miracles today as well. He goes on to talk about Micah 3 and verse 11, about false prophets. They divine for money. Now, do you see any of that in this world? Yes, you do. It's there, and you can see it. And it's been exposed in a lot of cases. But then in Isaiah 30 and verse 10, notice this, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not. This is the way human beings like it. They say, don't prophesy, prophesy not unto us right things. Don't even prophesy those to us. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. This is what the world wants. This is what human nature wants. They don't want God's way of life. They want to be lawless. And look what they tell their own ministers to do. Just teach us smooth things. We don't want to hear God's prophecy. We don't want to hear any bad news. But then if they reject that, they reject the great news that God has for all of us and what He would do for us right now if we would turn to God. Notice verse 11. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They push God out of the church, and He lets it happen to see how evil they really are. God does that. We need to notice this in Micah 4, verses 3 and 4. You can see there God is going to stop all this. He's going to stop war. He's going to be peace and joy and abundance in this world that they've never even imagined. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
God commands His people to prophesy or die. Yet the vast majority of God's own people today have chosen to ignore this life-saving warning. Understand why you must support God's prophetic message to avoid becoming His enemy. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Micah delivered a thunderous warning to God's people in this end time. He declared that most members of God's church just before the return of Jesus Christ would fall asleep spiritually. They would stop prophesying, which is a deadly mistake. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Micah, God's People Rise Up as His Enemy, to expose the most shocking betrayal in the history of God's one true church. God knew far in advance that His chosen people would turn away from Him in this age. Choosing whether to prophesy as God commands is no casual decision. It is a matter of life or death. God's people need to wake up. Study Micah, God's People Rise Up as His Enemy, to learn where God is working and warning today. Micah foretold an end-time breaker, a man in God's church who would break away from the rebels and follow Jesus Christ. This man would continue to prophesy while everyone around him ignored God's warning. You can prove the identity of this man. Also request Gerald Fleury's free book, The New Throne of David. A dramatic change occurred within God's church back in 2017. You can prove it from your Bible. Ever since, God has held His people to a higher standard. They are expected to prophesy with greater strength and courage than ever before. The prophetic message they support is unpopular, a sobering warning against the British royal family and a powerful false church, and ultimately, against the entire world. As the persecution heats up, only the loyal few will continue to prophesy boldly as God commands. Study the new throne of David to reveal the staggering reward God is offering to those who build their lives around prophesying His warning message. You will also receive a free copy of Gerald Fleury's reprint article, Prophetic Duality. A major key that unlocks Bible prophecy is the fact that God works in dual stages. Some Bible prophecies that have already come true anciently will be fulfilled yet again in this end time. That is prophetic duality. To understand your world, you need to understand this vital concept. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Micah, God's people rise up as His enemy, the new throne of David, and prophetic duality. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Micah, God's people rise up as His enemy, the new throne of David, and prophetic duality. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.